And Ephesians chapter 6. When these special days come by, it always gives to the preacher opportunity to talk about topics that maybe they wouldn't normally talk about, so I always look forward to it. And want to talk about dads that make a difference. Oh, most dads do. They make a big difference in our lives. I like to talk about my dad. My dad was so quiet. Didn't say very many things, very many words, but we pretty much knew what he wanted and what he preferred, and we learned quickly the things that were important to him. Most of you know my dad was not a Christian, didn't serve the Lord until just the last few days of his life. He gave his heart to the Lord just before he passed away, and as we passed through, we were only in the Tulsa area for one day, less than 24 hours. We just passed by before I left town. I drove up by the cemetery, and I know he's not there. But still yet, I went by because I wanted to go by there because I have this, connection with him, and I wanted just to spend a minute or two just remembering him, and which I do often, but it's an important thing to do, even though maybe it's other days of the year other than Father's Day. You need to take some time and to remember those that have influenced your life. If your dad has already passed on, then it's a wonderful thing to give thanks to God for our fathers. Amen. It really is. Say, well, my dad wasn't what he ought to be, and so I don't know. But the Bible tells us the kind of response, the kind of an attitude that we are to have toward our family. These verses are some of the most familiar in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul giving instruction about families, giving instruction about the home. And in particular, in one of the verses, directed right straight to fathers. So let's read here in Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. No other qualification, just obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. Amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, I believe the apostle is qualifying this statement, this passage, and pointing it right directly to the minds and the hearts of fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I know in this New Testament text, we've been given some wonderful instruction concerning the family and the home. And we need to make sure that we understand all about what the Bible says about the family and about the home and about marriage. Why? Well, I think it's obvious. We're living right now in an age when all of these things are being changed, redefined. People's thinking is being confused with the current trends and the ideas. But God's idea is that a family be established whenever a man and a woman come together and are united in holy marriage. That's the will of God. No other way to define what a marriage is or a family is and stay within the context of what the Scripture says. And as Christians, that's where we need to be. Amen. Believers of the Word of the Lord. 40 years ago, when I started out in ministry, I would have never ever imagined living in a world where something like this would even have to be defended or even talked about from the pulpit. But yet we're living in a fast-changing world, and the thinking and the philosophy of this world today is changing so fast, and so many are being sucked into the thinking of this world that there has to be. We have to stop, check ourselves, and evaluate what we believe based upon what the Bible says. I know that a lot of people say today this is an archaic book, it's outdated, it's old-fashioned, and it doesn't fit the current culture. But this is the immutable, unchanging revelation of God's will for man. It will never change. Amen. It will never change, and we need to live by it, because one day we're going to be judged according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Not if we're a good person, not based upon any other values that we might have. We're going to be judged by truth, by the truth of God's word. And that is an awesome thing to consider, that one day we'll stand in the presence of the Lord and we'll give an account for our lives and the deeds of our life. And that judgment will be based upon truth, the word of God. So this is God's word. It is a spiritual book. It cannot be naturally understood. That's the reason why that the wisdom of men today is explaining away the word of God, explaining away the truth concerning family, marriage, and all of these things that are so important to us. This is a spiritual book. It was spiritually given, and it can be only spiritually discerned and understood. Only as we are godly, spiritual people can we understand the truths of God's word, and it's only by that revelation that we are able to live our life in accordance to the word of the Lord. Even though there's this scheme today, last day, diabolical scheme of the enemy of our soul and the enemy of families to try to change that, today we stand without apology for the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dads that make a difference. Dads that make a difference. You see, yeah, but things were so much different then than they are now. Not really. In the day that the Apostle Paul was being used to write these New Testament letters, such as Ephesians, that pretty much the world was dominated by a Roman culture. And Paul wrote this from a Roman prison. And so this was the kind of a culture that he was preaching the truth of family life and marriage and the responsibility of fathers. From that context, he was talking about all of these things that we believe and have always believed. And so it is true that now we are opposite. We are counter the culture, just as Paul was then. Everything he taught, everything that he preached and wrote, was counter to the current Roman culture. The Roman dominion, the word was patria potestas. And the word meant the father's power. Men in the Roman, who were Roman citizens, were given absolute property rights of their family. Fathers owned their families. They owned their wives and they owned their children. That was under the Roman law. A displeased father could disown his children. He could sell them into slavery or even kill them if he wanted to. Legally do that. You say, well, that's horrible. And today we murder almost 60 million babies in our country, legally murdering them. And so we're not so much unlike this Roman culture, are we? A baby was born. When a baby was born, it was placed between the feet of the father. If he picked it up, it became a part of his family. If he walked away from it, it was left to die or sold into slavery. One writer of that era by the name of Seneca, he said, "We slaughter a mad cow. We slay a mad dog. We plunge a knife in a sick cow. Children born weak or deformed, we drown." That was the thinking of this. This was supposed to be this high-level, intellectual Roman culture. But they were depraved and pagan because they had rejected God and they rejected the truths of the Word of God. That's the kind of situation that the Apostle Paul is writing to and writing about. And all of the Christians of that era were such a minority, and it was such a small group of people. But yet Rome was completely influenced by the teaching and the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Amen. That whole era That whole area, that whole region was affected by the preaching and the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And so too, you and I today are living in a world and a culture that opposes God and opposes the Word of God. But we have a responsibility to be fathers who make a difference in our world. Fathers who make a difference in the world that we are living in right now. How do we do that? How do we do that? And it's an awesome responsibility. And I have to be honest with you that I can look back on the failures of my experience as a dad, and I know that I've got not dozens, but hundreds of failures and mistakes that I've made. So I'm not standing here as someone that's reached some level of perfection as a dad. But I do know that we can trust the Word of God, and if we'll live and obey the Word of God, that God can use us to be influencers in the world that we're living in right now. Amen. So what is our responsibility, and what can we do, and what does it say in the Word of God? Well, first of all, let me just talk a little bit about honoring. It says that we should honor our father and our mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This commandment was given so that we actually, to honor someone is to see value in them, to see value in their life and to recognize the value of their life. We all have different experiences. Your father, my father, all different in our, some of you have had fathers that maybe were not even present in your lives. But in every way, every Christian can learn the lesson of how to honor those that God has placed in your life. Amen. To honor them, to honor your parents, and to recognize the value. There is a promise that goes along with this willingness to honor them. As you honor them, it will go well with thee. As you honor them, you will live long on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that those that die younger have necessarily dishonored their parents, because not only are we blessed with the length of our life, but oftentimes it's in the substance and the quality of our life. And we leave that, the length of our life, into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Because we know He's the one that ultimately is in control of that, of the number of our days. But children need fathers. Sons and daughters need godly fathers in their life. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's interesting that in all of this instruction here, that the first one begins with a negative to fathers. Don't provoke your children. Don't exasperate your children. Or maybe another way of saying it is, don't set them up to fail. Provide a way that they can succeed and that you can help them succeed and bless them. The same phrase or similar is in Colossians 3 and 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The influence of our lives. You know, I really believe that for the most part, what children need from their fathers is their blessing, their approval. Isn't it true? As I said, I already said my dad was so quiet. He didn't say much. But yet what he did say, you'll find this is true, the person who uses fewer words, his words carry much more weight. And so whenever he would say things along the way, his words would have an impact. And I've told some of these things before, but my dad did not serve the Lord, but I remembered a few times down through the years, especially a couple of times in my teen years, that he came to me and he spoke to me and he warned me about situations. And when my dad got up the courage to come to me and to speak some words of warning about a particular situation that I might be in, whenever he warned me, then it was as if I realized it was so powerful that what he warned me about, immediately I recognized the danger and I recognized that I needed to take another direction.
I really do believe that children need desperately the blessing and the approval of their dads. My dad was a baseball player. He could throw a baseball. He was a pitcher. He could throw a baseball unbelievably fast. Those guys that played with him, who were actually, a couple of them were at his funeral, they talked to me then about how fast that he could throw a baseball, incredibly fast. And I learned the lesson because I played in baseball. I played behind the mound. I was the catcher. And so many times in the backyard, he was throwing the ball, and I was catching it, and he was burning me up throwing the baseball. It wasn't a very happy position to be in when my dad was throwing the ball. But I don't know how many years, you know, through, you know, maybe 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, that I was on little Pee Wee League type baseball teams. And I can remember wishing that my dad would come to my games. And he was always too tired or too busy or had something else, got off work late or whatever, and couldn't come to the games. And on one particular occasion, I wasn't the greatest baseball player. I would say I was a good average of all the guys playing ball. But on one particular day in a game, I was up to bat, and the ball was thrown, and I actually whacked the ball out into center field over the top of the center fielder's head. It was the best hit I ever had playing baseball. And I ran all the way to second base. And you know what I was thinking when I got to second base? I was thinking, I wish my dad was here to see this. You know what? I looked up into the stands, and there he was. He was there. And that day is like big in my mind because I remember that my dad was there and I did something that pleased him. Dads can provide approval and blessing, and we certainly should do that. If you provoke your children to wrath, and you're going to set the boundaries, you'll set the bar so high that they're not able to reach it. But make sure that whenever you establish the perimeters, that it's something that they can accomplish and that they can do, and that you are the father who sees them do it, and you provide the approval for what they have done. Amen. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but provide approval and blessing to them. And they learn their relationship with their heavenly father many times through their relationship with their earthly father. And so if the earthly father is rejected and his direction and wisdom and instruction is rejected, then oftentimes it has an effect upon the way that you respond to your heavenly father. So the first of these instructions here to fathers is a negative. Don't provoke your sons and daughters to wrath. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't make the goal and the perimeter so difficult that they're not able to reach it. And they learn how to respond not only to their parents, but to all the authorities in their life, many times through the relationship that they have with their father. Amen. Another thing that's mentioned here in this text is that we are to bring them up. We are to bring them up, literally to nurture them, to help them, to encourage them. And really, it's talking about to nurture them, to provide for them, to feed them. And obviously, a man is to provide for his household. He is to provide natural food. He's to provide a shelter for his family. But he's also to be a provider in every other way. He's to provide spiritually for his family. Remember the example of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, after his family had lost him. He's 12 years old. They've lost him. They go back to the temple. They find him there, in dialogue with the doctors and the lawyers. Jesus said, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" But then it says that he goes back with them and is subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Then in verse 2 it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus was raised up in a household, in a family. So God had designed the family for Jesus to be nurtured in, to grow up in, and to be well-rounded in every area of his life. Wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If Jesus was provided a family with a father and a mother and that kind of a structure, then I think that's what every child needs to have. That kind of a place where they can be nurtured and fed and provided for in every area of their life. And the spiritual impact, oh, how powerful that it is that there be an opportunity for spiritual influence upon our children. Really, when you think about it, you just have a little short window of opportunity, of time to influence your family, to influence your children. And so we need to take advantage of that time to train them, to bring them up, to help them to grow and to develop in spiritual things. Amen. I remember many, many times, and I know many of these things I've probably spoke about before, but Zach, when he was a little guy, didn't want to go to bed at night. He couldn't hardly stand to be still and to close his eyes. But finally, when he was in bed, then he wanted to prolong that a little longer. And so the last thing that he could think of to prolong it was, "Dad, would you come and pray for me? Come and pray for me." And so, and really I knew his tactic was, let's prolong this just a little bit longer. But we had placed this picture over his bed that depicts a dad praying over his child. And in the background, there's all of this darkness, the dark clouds, and it's obvious from the picture that this is a dad that is praying over his child and praying back the darkness. It wants to influence him. And many times Zach would say to me, after I would pray, he would point up there at the picture and say, "That's you, Dad, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he would say, "That's me there in the bed, isn't it?" "Yeah, Zach, that's you." Now, right now, Zach is he's outside of my reach. But that doesn't mean that I can't keep praying. And it doesn't mean that the prayers over the years did not have an impact, because I believe that they have and that they do and they will, as we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. And for any of you who have children that are away, wayward, turned away from God and rejecting God, don't ever think that your prayers are wasted or were wasted. They were not. And you still are praying back the darkness, and you're still praying for God to fulfill his purpose and his will in their lives. The spiritual impact of a father is mighty and it's powerful. Amen. Amen. But not only are we to bring them up, but it says bring them up in the nurture. Nurture. The word has the idea of learning, training, being taught. In the structure of a family and a home, that in the home they can learn spiritual truths. In a home they can learn about God and about the Word of God, and these influences can be powerful. Another part of this is to learn, and to even learn through discipline. Discipline is an important part, and oftentimes dad plays a role there, an important role in disciplining the children in the family. It's not always a pleasant role, but it's a necessary role, that the father is a disciplinarian, that he's the one that draws the line and says, don't cross this line, don't disobey what has been commanded, and that the children understand the consequences when they do not do what they have been asked to do. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening
of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked at him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? The father who chastens is someone who honors God and honors the word of God and wants to be that person of discipline in the family. And if you reject that responsibility, then it's a sad, sad thing in your household. If you reject the responsibility of helping your children to learn through discipline. Obviously, discipline isn't just correction. It's also instruction, it's guidance, it's wisdom, it's many, many other things. But sometimes it does just come down to that not sparing the rod. Amen. Amen. He that spares the rod hates his son. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? He hates his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It means young. I've heard people say, well, they're so young, I don't want to hit them while they're really young. I don't want to spank them when they're really young. I might hurt them. Well, that's when you have to deal with them, when they're very, very young. And then when they're older, it won't be necessary. And for the most part, it's too late when they get older. Do it while they're young. He chastens him betimes. Obviously, never abusive, never in anger, but be that person that is instructing and encouraging and training and bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord. Amen. That's the kind of environment that needs to take place. I didn't get a whole lot of spankings. I think they took care of it when I was really young. Later on in life, I guess I was just such a good guy that I didn't have to have too many from that day on. But I must have gotten a lot of them when I was really, really young. And it's got me all straightened out. But yet I knew to walk the line. I need to be careful. I need to be cautious. And I knew the importance of instruction from my family. And it goes without saying, I can't finish up here without just talking a minute about what's going on in our world today. All this confusion about sexual identities. All of this mess that's going on in our world right now. Where do we teach and train our sons and daughters about these things, primarily in the family, in the home? We teach our sons what it means to be a young man. We teach him what it means to act and to carry himself like a young man. We teach our young ladies to present themselves as young ladies with caution, with femininity, with modesty. And we teach them and we train them. And it's in the family. So these masculine, feminine roles that so many children are growing up today, and they're all full of confusion about who they are and where they fit in life. Much of that confusion has come from being raised up in families and homes where there was already spiritual confusion there in that family. I'm telling you, this is a time that we are serious about this issue. We take very definite steps of action in our families, in our homes, whenever the world is saying all that it's saying about this identity confusion. This is the time when we need to make sure we make it clear and we show them from the Word of God how important that it is that a lady be a lady. Amen. That a lady look like a lady, dress like a lady, present themselves in such a way that it's a feminine look, and that they present themselves in not any way, don't make any steps that your appearance would be masculine. Avoid that. Amen. Amen. Avoid that. Teach them how they are to look, how they are to dress, everything about their appearance and their present, how they present themselves, so that it honors the Lord, because he's the one that has created them to be what they are. So don't leave any room for confusion in these areas for young ladies and for young men that grow up. I was growing up as a teenage boy in the late 60s, early 70s.
It was a time of lots of rebellion, and the guys were all wearing super long hair. And I was the lone weirdo at school who had hair cut about like it is right now. And everybody else had the long styles following all these rock groups and all these changes that were happening in that that culture at that time. And my dad, who said very few words, except whenever I went to the barbershop. Matter of fact, the barbershop that we went to was two streets down from our house. And the barber there, his name was Coy, C-O-Y. His name was Coy, and he had a glass eye. And so he cut our hair with one eye. Hopefully it wasn't too awfully lopsided. But we would go down to Coy to get our hair cut. And if we came back home, we walked down there. Dad would give us whatever it was, a couple of dollars or $2.50 or whatever it was to get our hair cut. We would go down there. When we'd come back, my dad, who said very few things, said to me one time, maybe twice, said to me, "You didn't get enough cut off. You need to go back down there and get my money's worth." And so I would have to turn around and walk two blocks back down there and be embarrassed in front of everybody as I told the barber, "Coy, Dad says it's not enough. Got to cut a little bit more off." Now, I did that once, maybe twice, and it was settled. I never made that mistake again. Now, I resented it somewhat through those years. But now when I look back at my yearbook, I am so grateful, because everybody in the 70s looked weird. Those plaid pants with big bell bottoms and long hair, and the guys looked so crazy. And there I am in the yearbook with my necktie, my suit and my tie, and my hair's all cut nice and short, and I'm the only normal guy in there now. And everybody else looks weird. So thank God for Mom and Dad, who kept me on the straight and narrow. Amen. There was no confusion about such things as sex identity in my family. I knew on the day that the yard was supposed to be mowed, and I knew that if it wasn't mowed, when my dad got home from work that day, that myself and my brothers, we were in serious trouble. And what we would do is we would put it off to the last hour. And it's a big yard. The last hour. And then we recognized that we didn't have any more time left to goof off and to play around. And so we would start the lawnmower and we would run. We pushed it with all of our might. And I would go as long as I could go till I'd wear out. Then my next brother, he would take off and he would run all around and around the backyard. And then my third brother would step in and he would run, and then be my time again. And we would mow the backyard in 20 minutes. When Dad got home, it was done. There wasn't going to be any confusion about things such as sex identity in my household, because I had a dad who was going to make sure that the culture did not rule our lives. Amen. By the way, all these things, I don't know how much time I've got, 12 o'clock. The devices that we have now. Everybody's got a device. Everybody's got a screen. Everybody's face is in a screen. And all that information, it used to be horrible enough when it was just the TV and three networks. But now it's a TV with every possible source of information, plus all the devices, all of these things, and we're being lambasted with the culture and all the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Fathers, bring it under control. Bring it under control. Make sure that there's a spiritual impact, a spiritual influence in your household, and it's not just these things that are of this world that are permeating the thinking and the philosophy of our children. Are they going to grow up to love the world and to reject God and to reject the Word of God? The same thing is true of peers and friends that they have. Be careful, be cautious, and you sometimes have to be the bad guy as the dad to say, "No, that can't be your friend. That person can't be your friend." Amen. Nurture them. Help them to learn through discipline. And then the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition just means counsel. And to you children and young people that are in this service today, your mom, your dad, they're not always right, they're not always perfect, but you need to listen to their counsel. You need to pay attention to their words, because there's nobody on this earth that cares more about you than they do. Listen to their counsel. They might not always get it right, but they're always going to be trying their best. And if they're a Christian, if they're serving the Lord, then it's your best possible chance of getting good, solid counsel from your family. Actually, much of the book of Proverbs is Solomon counseling his son. 2 Timothy 3 and 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You need to know the source of the information. Continue in the things you've learned. Continue in the things that you have found to be true and faithful, the things that you have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What is the source of that counsel? Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. For all of you dads, the thing that ought to be more important to you than anything else in all of this world, and that is that your son, that your daughter knows Jesus, that they get saved. That ought to be the all-consuming burden of your heart, the all-consuming desire of your heart. They don't need more money. They don't need more things. They don't need more possessions. They don't need the designer clothes. They don't need all of these things. What they need is Jesus in their life. So counsel them in the ways of the Lord. Instruct them. Amen. You might get a few eye rolls, you know. They may get tired a little bit of all of the counsel, but those words will hit the target. They will have an impact. If your motive is right and you truly love and you're truly being used of the Lord to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. It is a frightening day that we're living in right now. Scary times. The only safe haven that God has provided for your children and the young people is the family, the home. It is that unit designed by God. Certainly the church is reinforcing what's going on in the family. The Christian education reinforces what goes on in the family. And there are other wonderful resources that can encourage it. But primarily what's going on in the household, in the family, is the most powerful unit in the world. Amen. That's why the enemy has attacked it. That's why he's attacking it now. That's why marriage is under attack. That's why sex identity has become such an issue, is because Satan has this diabolical plan to try to destroy what God has designed. Amen. Take it to heart. Fathers, it's a big responsibility, but you can make an impact. You can make an impact through the grace of God in your own life. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this great responsibility of fatherhood. Thank you, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord, your grace, your wisdom, your power in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be men of God, men of the Spirit, men of the Word. Oh, Lord, that we would certainly be a righteous, godly influencer in our household, in our family. That even though, Lord, we're counter to the culture, even though everything we believe is rejected by the thinking and the philosophy of this world, help us to stay true to the principles of the Word of God, to live it out. Lord, even though it's rejected by the world, but Lord, that we would make a commitment to follow truth, to love and to live by the truth. God, use men in this place, in this church, in these families today, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.